What a glorious and blessed day today is. It's interesting how things go in life from time to time. As I was contemplating and thinking about how we might approach the Christmas season, as I mentioned to you earlier, a passage of Scripture just continually came to my mind. I asked myself the question, why did Jesus Christ come to earth? Why was He born? What was the purpose of Him being here? And many of us can answer that question in a variety of ways. But one thing kept coming to my mind is that we needed a Savior. And you may say, well, we get that. We understand that. We're Christians and we've been there many times and we've heard that talk and that discussion about why Jesus Christ came. But I want to come to you with a different thought about why Christ came. He came to be our Savior. He came to be our Lord and our King. But I think in the book of John, we can find another reason, a reason that I think that if we would hang on to, would make us stronger Christians, would make us better servants for God, would cause us to be more obedient to Him. As you're turning to the book of John chapter 5, I want to just read you very quickly a piece as you're turning to John chapter 5. We've been studying through the book of Exodus in our evening service, which tonight we will continue. We're in Exodus chapter 20, looking at the Ten Commandments. We've spent a little time looking at a verse in Exodus chapter 20, and I want to read that to you this morning as you're looking up John chapter 5. God said this to the children of Israel, starting in verse 1. And God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likenesses of the anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. I'm going to stop right there for 1 second, and then I'm going to read the next verse to you. Did you hear those words that God said? He said, I am a jealous God. I am a God that wants no other gods before me. I am a God that wants no gods that you're serving but me. He said, I am the Lord thy God. And He tells the children of Israel that I am the God that brought you out of Egypt, so you know who I am. You can understand the complexity of who I am. You saw me part the Red Sea. You saw me use a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud to guide you. You saw me destroy the Egyptians. You saw me bring you water from a rock. You saw me give you manna from heaven. You saw me bring you quail. So you know who I am. I am the Lord thy God. And He says in verse 5, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. He said that if we bow down ourselves to other gods, He is a jealous God, and He will visit His iniquity upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of them that, listen to these words, hate me. I would ask you the question this morning, do you hate God? And you may say to yourself, no, sir, I know, Pastor, I don't hate God. My next question would be, then do you obey God? Because see, if you don't obey God, then you hate God. Obedience requires love. Obedience requires you to do the right thing. Obedience moves you to righteousness. And if you refuse to obey God, then there's only one other way to go, and that is to hate God. And that is to be disobedient, and that is not to love Him, and that is to move into the opposite direction. See, we're so quick to say to ourselves, I don't hate God because I'm a Christian. But if you don't serve God, if you're not obedient to God, do you really love God? See, the next verse here says, God said to the children of Israel, and I show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. If we want true blessing from God, I believe, and I mentioned this last week when we studied this passage of Scripture, if you want true blessings from God, then you must love God and keep His commandments. Or in other words, you must obey God. Now, the children of Israel had a real hard time with that. If you've ever read the book of Exodus, you all understand and know the story that about 12 chapters later in chapter 32 or so, the children of Israel, after Moses has been on the mountain for 40 days receiving commandments from God, the children of Israel decide that Moses has been gone too long, God probably killed him, so they make themselves a golden calf, the very thing God says do not do, and then they said, this is what brought us out of Egypt. And when Moses came down and God saw what they did, there was punishment to be had. And you say, well, Pastor, that's all fine and dandy, but what does that got to do with John? And what does that got to do with God's love? And what does that got to do with Christmas? See, God realized that there was no way that we could handle that kind of strictness. That there was no way that we were going to falter and fail, that we were going to fall into a position where we would be on the hate side of God and not the love side of God, because our human nature dictates that and drives us in that fashion, moves us into that path. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 4 and 5 and 6, it says, surely Thou hast borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. All we like sheep were gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. See, Isaiah was talking about the death of Jesus Christ, and we hear that scripture a lot around Easter, but you need to understand that what Isaiah was talking about is our iniquity was so great that we had all gone astray. We needed something to bring us back, something to help us, something to cure us, something to heal us. And I believe that we find that here in John chapter 5. Read with me in John chapter 5. We've already read this morning, but let's read this passage again so that we get a full picture of what's taking place. Jesus has just done the miracle at the Samaritan woman in chapter 4. We've studied that. He brought salvation to her and to all of the Samaritans there. And then in verse 27, he talks about the fields white with harvest, and Samaritans come in droves to accept the message of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 43, we find a nobleman had come to Jesus and asked for healing of his son. And Jesus heals his son. And as John does, as he moves right from one event to the next, we come to chapter 5. And he said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. John does not tell us which feast this is. It could have been the Passover. It could have been the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Tabernacles. We don't really know. It's interesting because John normally names the feast in which they're doing, but it was a feast in which all of the Jews, all of the men were required to go to Jerusalem. And so we find that Jesus goes to Jerusalem. And as he comes to Jerusalem, he goes by the sheep market. This is not a typical place for a rabbi to go. A leader, a teacher of the people would not normally go to the sheep market. This is where all the sick people are. This is where all the wounded and the ill and the infested and all the disease of society, this is not where they would hang out. But I find it interesting that Jesus goes to this place. Because as Jesus goes to this place, I believe that He gives us an illustration here on how we as a church are to go to the wounded, the sick, and the dying. How we are to be where the disease is. How we are to be where the illnesses are. And there's no greater illness than sin in the community and sin in the world. The spread of Jesus' message needs to be there. It's the call that He gives to us, and Jesus illustrates that for us by going to this place that really is a very putrid place. But all of the sick are here because in this place there is a pool called Bethesda, meaning five porches. It was a place of healing. You might even think of it like miracle water. The Bible tells us that at a time of the season that the waters would be stirred and the first person to step in them would be healed of whatsoever he was sick of. Whatever disease, it didn't make any difference. And so we find this scene of a multitude of people wanting to be healed. Doesn't that remind us of us? When Jesus Christ came, He was born of a virgin. And He came to a lost and dying world, a world that was full of sick people. People that needed to be healed. And He came to stir the waters. He came to stir the waters of your soul, of your heart, to encourage you to say yes to the healing that He was providing. How do we know that? Well, look what the Bible says here in verse 6. Actually, in verse 5, it says there was a certain man there that was afflicted for 38 years. You know, this message may very easily sound to you like a salvation message, and it is. But I also want you to think of this, that as Christians, we get wounded. Jesus Christ came to give us life and life everlasting. And He came to give us hope. And He came to heal us. Isaiah says that by His stripes we are healed. Listen, that passage of Scripture doesn't mean that if I cease to that my knee is miraculously going to be healed. That's not what that Scripture means. That Scripture doesn't mean that if you have cancer, that if you just hang on to the power of God and say, by His stripes I am healed, you'll be healed of cancer. That doesn't mean that. What Isaiah was talking about is by the stripes of Christ at the cross, we would be healed internally. We would have spiritual salvation, a spiritual healing. And many of us today have accepted that spiritual healing of God. We have accepted the cross and His death and His burial and His resurrection as we have come to the table to understand. But I'm telling you, He came for so much more than that. When He saw this man at the pool, a man who had been there 38 years afflicted. I wonder just this morning, is there someone of you sitting here this morning or somebody that hears what I'm saying? Have you been afflicted a long time with something that you refuse to let go? Is there something in your life that you just think you've got to hang on to? Listen, Jesus came, and I'm going to let you hear it right here. He came so that you could be made whole. He did not come to save part of your body. He did not come just to save your soul. He came to save you so that you could be made whole. So that you can serve Him to the best of your ability. By His power and His might. It is because of His stripes and His beating and His blood that He shed at the cross that you can be made whole. Look what He asked this man who had been there for 38 years.
He said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" That is a question that Jesus asked the man. And it's a question that I would ask you this morning. Do you want to be made whole? You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm doing just fine. I have no illnesses in my life. I have no problems." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what's going on in your heart. What's going on in your mind. See, when we try to hang on to pieces of our life, we're not whole. And Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. He lived. He grew up. He ministered. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He died. He was buried. He rose again so that you could be made whole. He asked the man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, this man was not without excuse. It's interesting as you read through the book of John that every time Jesus asks a question, it's almost like every person has an excuse. Or they misunderstand what he's saying. And I want you to clearly hear what God is saying today. Don't misunderstand what he's saying to you this morning. He is asking you if you want to be made whole, if you want to be a complete person. A complete child of God. Not a person who's hanging on to part of their life, but their entire life is involved in Jesus Christ because He came for your whole being, not just part of it. When you say to God, "I want you to be my Lord and Savior," that phrase "Lord" means He's in charge of everything. We use that phrase at home. The man's the lord of his castle, meaning he's in charge of everything there. But we all know that that's not true, right? Does a man get to do whatever he wants at home? Yes. I don't have a wife. Only if he's by himself. But listen, we like to think that, and sometimes in our life, we say the same thing with Christ. You can be the Lord, but you're really not going to have full control because I'm still going to maintain this and this and this. And Jesus is asking the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The man said, "Hey," I'll paraphrase it for you because frankly, I had a hard time seeing it right there without my glasses. The man said, "Hey, I ain't got nobody stick me in the water. If I can't get in the water, I can't be made whole." And my first instinct to that is, "Well, dude, get closer to the water. Why are you so far away? If you know that water's going to do stirred up at a certain time of the year, don't be far away, but come close to the source of healing." And listen to me. Many of us as Christians want to stay as far away from God as possible because we don't really want the healing because the healing means we must change. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you want to be healed, stop making excuses and get closer to the source. And the source is Jesus Christ. We've got to stop having excuses why we refuse to serve God. We must stop having excuses for why we don't want to be made whole. Jesus has asked us a simple question. Do you want to be made whole? He wants to be your Savior, but He wants to be your Lord, and you must be made whole for Him to be your Lord. Stop having excuses. Stop saying, "I can't get near the source, dear God. I know you want to make me whole and I read your word, but you know there's this part here and there's that part there and I would just soon stay over here where it's shady, but I know the source is over there, but you know, I just, and all it is a pile of excuses." Come to the source. The source being Jesus Christ. What's great about God and what's great about Jesus Christ and about the fact that He came for you and I is that many times He looks beyond those excuses. This man made excuses. "Nobody can put me in the water before someone else gets in there." And Jesus says to him in verse 8, He says to the man, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And God has said to you, arise, take up your bed and walk. I have paid the price. I have come at this time in this year. I have come in this season and been born of a virgin so that I can say to you, arise, take up your bed and walk. And you say, well, that's no problem. I can arise and I can take my bed and I can walk. But don't miss this point. Obedience and action are required. See, Jesus asked the question, wilt thou be made whole? And you may say, sure, I want to be made whole. And so God says, arise, take up your bed and walk. Well, but you know, my bed's kind of heavy. I mean, I like what you're saying, but man, that just seems so easy. It's too simple, God. You mean all I got to do is just go over to this person and ask for forgiveness? You mean all I need to do is just be obedient? You mean it's just too easy. This man could have easily said, well, God, that's just, Jesus, that dude, that's just too easy. If I could just pick up my bed and walk, I would have done it 38 years ago. It just makes no sense. Obedience and action. The man could be obedient and rise. But if he does not have action, his obedience is no good. If he had just rose and left his bed there and stood there and said, okay, Jesus, I have risen. Big deal. What whoopee ding dong. What do you want me to do about that? What good is that? Obedience requires action. Jesus said, arise, take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and he walked. Listen to that. Immediately. God wants you to respond immediately. I know sometimes we don't respond immediately. I know sometimes it takes a while for those things to sink in and for the Spirit to really move us. I'll be honest with you, I think what it really boils down to is our willingness to be obedient to the Spirit. When the Spirit says, do this, you say, well, you know, I'm not really quite sure I heard correctly, so let me see if I can figure that out. Let me see if I can, you know what, I need to study the Word more to make sure I heard it properly. And sometimes that's good. But sometimes the Spirit requires immediate response. Be immediate. Jesus is asking you today, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? And the answer to that question should be, yes, Jesus, I want to be made whole. And if the answer is yes, then you must do something. You must arise and be obedient. You must have some action with your obedience. This is not about other people. This is about you. This is about where you are with your walk with God. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never actually accepted Christ. And, you know, I don't know. God knows your heart. I don't. And maybe He's speaking to you this morning. See, Jesus came to save us from our sins, but He also came to make us whole. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm gonna ask you to come and say, I need to know who Jesus is. But just as important as that is, those of us that are Christians, you need to hear this. Are you made whole? Have you allowed Jesus Christ to make you whole in your life? I'm not asking about your salvation. I'm not asking about your Christianity. I'm asking about your relationship with God. Are you standing far away from the source because you refuse to be made whole because you like what you're hanging on to? Whatever you're hanging on to will only eat you up inside. It will only cause you problems and affliction. It will only cause you pain and agony. Until it is fixed, it will only be a pain in your side. It has to be fixed. Jesus came to make us whole. He is asking you, do you want to be made whole? There's only one way I can illustrate that for you as we close. Several months ago, I was at the doctor, and I said to the doctor, I've got a pain in my knee. I've had this pain in my knee for a long time. I knew there was an issue with it, but you know how we men can be sometimes. And so I went to the doctor, and the doctor sent me to another doctor who did an MRI and said, you've got a tear inside your knee. That tear is like sin. I can't see it, but I could feel it. And it didn't always happen, and I didn't always have a problem with it. And so we said, you know, we got to fix that. And it required surgery, and it requires healing, and it requires crutches, and it requires pain. But when it's done, and it's done right, and it's been removed, I can be whole, and I can be better than I was, with no pain, with no agony. Does it mean it'll be perfect? No. But it required me to say, I need something done with it. And it required a surgeon to fix it. And it required time for healing. Oh, and by the way, it required some pain. And folks, when we have sin in our lives, sin is just like that. A lot of times it likes to hide beneath the surface. And it creeps up and it causes us pain. And it causes us agony. And until we go to the doctor, until we go to Jesus Christ, the great physician, and until we say to Him, I need that dealt with. And I need it taken care of. Because it causes me too much pain and too much agony. And I'll suffer the consequences and I'll suffer through the pain, but I've got to deal with it. And He does the surgery. And He removes it from your life. Do you want to be made whole? It's what Jesus came for. So that you could be made whole. He's asking you. That question requires obedience and action. You need to obey the Spirit as it speaks to you. And you need to bow your knee if that's what you need to do before God. If you need to talk to someone, do that. Whatever the action is to be made whole, you need to do that today. Our great God and Father in heaven, we just thank You for today. We thank You for the time that You've given to us. And Lord, we thank You that You came to make us whole. We thank You for Your Spirit, for Your movement. Lord, may we now respond to You as we've heard Your message clearly that You have come to make us whole. May we respond as this man did immediately with obedience and action. Oh God, may we fall on our knees before You. May we come in Your presence and say, yes, Lord, I need Thee every hour. I need You, Lord. I need You in every part of my life. I don't need You just every hour, but every minute and every second of every day. May I not run from the source, but may I run to the source of strength and of healing. May I run to You, Almighty God. In Your great precious name. Amen.